As we continue this series, Good News of a Risen Lord, it's kind of the concluding part of our series through the Gospel of Luke. And so we had started that last year. We've been looking at this good news from the doctor, Dr. Luke. And so many times we think about going to the doctor and we get bad news. But Dr. Luke, through the Gospel, the good news of Jesus, shares with us good news designed that we would share with others. And so this part of the series leading up to Resurrection Sunday is taking a look at different glimpses of that final week leading up to the death, burial, and resurrection. And as we come to Luke chapter 21, we discover this conversation, this teaching that Jesus does regarding the signs of the end times. And so many times we look at that and we look at anything that the Bible says about the end times and, well, it gets confusing. And we read it and we think, well, is this about something that has already happened? Is this about something that's yet to happen? And many times the problem with the answer is that it is yes. And so I believe that some of this is being written about the destruction of Jerusalem that was yet to come for those who were originally hearing this, but in our lifetime has happened a long time ago. But it also is about the end times when Jesus returns to gather his church, to gather the believers together. And so it has different applications because as you read God's word, as you understand his teaching, the old saying that there's nothing new under the sun rings true. And so what Jesus says about this incident doesn't only apply to that specific case, it applies to other things that happen and that will happen. And so as we consider the good news of a risen Lord, today we want to look at the idea of understanding the signs. And I think out of this chapter, there's these five things. We're going to use the word signs as our outline. Five things that Jesus wants us to understand that will prepare us not just for life today, not just for life this week, but that will prepare us for the time that Jesus returns for those that are his. As believers, that's how we can rejoice with hope, even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of things that are difficult, even in the midst of discouragement in life. We recognize that this life is a temporary condition, but a life with Christ is eternal. And one of the difficulties in understanding the signs is, well, for some of us at least, and maybe more of us than would want to admit it, we kind of only see what we want to see. I'm guessing there are individuals out here that if I were to ask your spouse, they would describe something that they call selective hearing. Okay, yeah, it sounds like some of you are familiar with that. But the same is true in what we see, what we observe. There are things that we go through life and we kind of wear these imaginary blinders because we just don't want to be aware of that. And so we miss the signs that we ought to be seeing. I think one of the most common excuses, and it would be fun to sit down with some police officers and ask them, but when an individual is pulled over and, you know, how fast were you going? And it's like, well, I didn't know. I didn't see any signs. Well, the reason they didn't see any signs is they chose not to. It's not that the signs were invisible. It's not that they weren't there. It's just that we kind of get in that zone when we're driving and they're there, but we're really not paying that close attention. And we may not want to admit that when we're talking about our driving and our safety, but that's life. And so when it comes to the signs of the return of Jesus, it's not that they're not available. It's just that we're not paying attention. The first part of Luke chapter 21, as we begin to look at what it means and what it is like to understand the signs, Jesus encounters something that he saw differently than his disciples saw. Luke 21, beginning at verse 1. As he looked up, Jesus saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. I tell you the truth, he said. This poor widow has put in more than all the others. You see, all of these other people gave gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had to live on. And some of the disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, as for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down. As we seek to understand the signs, I believe the first thing that God calls us to understand is the sacrifice that is called upon for every one of us. We're heading toward Resurrection Weekend. We're heading toward that celebration of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And we celebrate his sacrifice. We enjoy the benefits of his sacrifice, of his willingness to pay the penalty for our sin. But in doing so, we sometimes miss the sign of the sacrifice he calls for us to make. And as he's observing what's taking place there, he notices the sacrifice. The disciples notice the building. They notice everything that's going on around them. And Jesus looks at it, and he calls for us to be those who are willing to sacrifice, to give ourself fully to him. The disciples, they say, wow, look at the pretty building. Look at the beauty of the temple. Look at everything that God has put around us. And in that same setting, Jesus says, no. Look at the one who's willing to give everything they have. Jesus was pointing to this widow, but at the same time, he was pointing to himself. He was pointing to every one of us with that call that we would represent him in the way that we sacrifice. And so when we understand the signs, he calls to us to be that one that's willing to give not just what is extra, not just what we think we can, but to give of ourselves fully to God so that Jesus can be made known. Sometimes we miss the signs because we don't want to see them. And we miss the signs of sacrifice because we prefer to be comfortable. We prefer to have our self taken care of even more so than anyone else. And as we understand the signs, Jesus says, pay attention. Take your eyes off the glitter and distractions of this world and place them fully on Jesus. He goes on in Luke 21. It's not simply understanding the sacrifice. He also says, understand the information. You will see and hear. You will experience many things. But is it true? Is it real? Is it right? A big section here, verses 7 through 26, he starts talking about various detailed signs, various detailed things that they will notice and that they will see. But I want you to catch the introduction to that. In verse 7, the disciples are asking, Teacher, When will these things take place? And what will be the sign that they are about to take place? And his reply in verse 8, watch out that you are not deceived. For many will come in my name, claiming, I am he, the time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away. And he goes on and describes various signs and things that we have seen in every generation that history has recorded. Signs that are not new, signs that are a part of human nature. He says, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. When has that not happened? There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilence in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. You see, all of those things take place throughout history, and Jesus says, these are signs that things in this world are decaying. But the end is yet to come. And so we recognize that it's our responsibility to understand the information that's being given. Many of us have lived through numerous end-of-the-world signs. I remember the whole big Y2K thing, and the calendars were turning from 1999 to 2000, and everything was going to fall apart and be destroyed because it was signifying the end of the world. And yet here we are. And we could go through a list after list of things like that where somebody says, this is it. And Jesus says, there will always be people saying, this is it, this is the time, look at me. And he says, don't pay attention to them. I think the latest that I've seen, there's this thing circulating that this solar eclipse coming on April 8th is the end of the world. It's the sign, everything's turning dark. And when you look at the scope of the world and that little narrow band that that total eclipse is taking place in, it's like, what in the world are you talking about? But we as people want inside information. We want knowledge that no one else has. And so when we can't find it, we have this tendency to make it up. And if it sounds good, we kind of get drawn into believing it. And when Jesus calls for us to understand the information, he says, check it out. And we are living in a time where those that have leadership responsibilities in various places are doing their best, I believe, to divide us and to distract us and to keep us from understanding the signs and the information that God's Word gives. And the best part of the information that we find in here is that when we are in Christ, we win. As we look to how we understand the signs, Jesus says, be ready, for you do not know the hour that the Son of Man returns. And so when Jesus makes that clear, when he makes that statement that we don't know, that he doesn't even know, why do we think we can somehow figure it out? To that exact day, that exact hour, that exact moment. He says, pay attention to the information so that you are not deceived. He's not saying pay attention to the information so that you know more than everybody else, but rather so that you are not deceived and so that you maintain that faithfulness in relationship to Jesus, so that regardless of whatever the signs look like, you're ready. And so we understand the times when we understand the sacrifice that God calls us to make. We understand the information that is flooding our minds. But we also understand the glory which belongs to God. Jumping down, Luke 21, verses 27 and 28. Jesus says, at that time, and he's talking about the signs in the heavens and the earth and all of this turmoil and everything happening. And I think we see signs of that. in the relationship that I've had over the years with IDES, International Disaster Emergency Service, it just seems like the natural disasters that they are responding to just increase year after year in the number and in the scope and in everything. And we see that. And in verse 26, Jesus says, people will faint from terror. But guess what he says we ought to be doing? He says, while those around you are fainting in terror, at that time they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing nigh. The things that bring fear into the lives of unbelievers ought to be preparing us for the return of Christ and the glory that comes with it. I'm guessing there's no one in this room that would voluntarily sign up to suffer if somehow you can avoid it. But when the suffering comes because of the sin that envelops the world, he says to pick up your heads and look. Your redemption, the buyback that Jesus has made on behalf of you, is about to be fulfilled. We understand the glory of God in the midst of our life, in the midst of the chaos of this world. Jesus says that when you light a lamp, you place it on a stand so that it provides light to everyone around. He says it would be foolishness to light that lamp and put it underneath a basket and hide it. And in the same way, you as his followers, as his children, are the light of the world, and we ought to be set as a city on a hill so that the world sees that we do not live in the terror that the world lives in, but that we live with great hope. We understand the glory of God revealed through his Son Jesus. It changes us, it draws us near to him, it makes us more like him. And it is so easy to get drawn into the cares of this world. We flick on the news channel, we turn on the social media outlets, and it's a terrifying place out there. But the problem of a steady diet of that is that it drowns out the glory of God when we gaze into his word and see who he is in our life. And it's not that we quit watching the news. It's not that we ignore what's going on around us. But we provide balance by spending more time with God than we do with the world. And so the wars and rumors of wars, the nations against nations, we understand it and we pray about it and we relate to God in that. But we realize he's still in charge. And his glory will prevail. And so we pray and we act. We live and we give according to his word, according to the nature of Jesus within us. And we understand his glory is not just a far off, distant thing, but it's a glory that he designed to live within us through his Spirit. And regardless of what stage of the end of times that we may happen to be in, his desire is that his glory is seen by us as the light of the world. Understanding the signs is not only understanding the sacrifice, the information, and the glory, but it's also understanding the need. The need of ourself, but also the need of the world, the need of those around us. He goes on in verses 29 through 35, and he tells them a parable. He says, look at the fig tree and all of the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. kind of would like to see some sprouts and leaves today, wouldn't you? You wake up and that snow stuff's kind of flying around and think, what in the world's with that? We changed the clocks, we changed the season. But we do. We notice when the trees start to bud and the leaves start to come out, well, summer can't be far behind. He says, even so, when you see these things happening, when you see the turmoil within the world happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until these things have happened. And again, I believe that verse is an indication that the primary focus he was talking about was the destruction of Jerusalem. The secondary focus is on the return of Christ. Because this generation did pass away. But he says, I tell you the truth, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Now catch out this need. As we understand the need, he says in verse 34, be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. To understand the need is that understanding that we need to be prepared. We need to be watching and waiting. We need to be in relationship with Jesus. When we are driving along or walking or whatever it is that we're doing and we approach a train track and the little wooden arms start to come down and the lights are flashing. Now, I know there are people out there, I see them every day, that to them that means I need to speed up so I can get across. The reality of putting those there is a warning to say slow down and avoid being hit by the train. We see the warning signs. We hear the bells dinging when those cross arms come down. And then we drive around them and we wonder, why did I get hit? I didn't see that coming. Well, why not? And Jesus says, when you see the warning signs and Jesus returns and you say, why wasn't ready? And I think he'll say, well, why not? I've given you the word. I've shown you all of these signs that says this is approaching, this is coming. The need is that you are found prepared, that you are found ready, that you are not caught up, as he puts it, in dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. What a combination. I think many times as Christians, as believers, we would read that and we would kind of say, well, dissipate, nah, that's not me. No, I wouldn't get caught up with that. He must be talking about other people. And then we just kind of gloss over the anxieties of life. Because that one catches all of us. Life is difficult. Life has trouble. Life is filled with anxious moments. But when we understand the need, we realize that the need is to overcome those anxious moments, not with the substances of this earth, but with the Spirit of God to guide us and to lift us. So we understand the signs when we understand the sacrifice, the information, the glory, the need, but it's most important that we understand the signs when we understand the Son. That's what makes all of the rest of these points work. It's when we draw near to Jesus. Verses 36 through 38 in Luke 21. Jesus warns them. He says, always be on the watch. Watch and pray that you may be able to escape everything that's about to happen, so that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. And each day Jesus was teaching at the temple, and each evening he went out to spend the night on the hill called the Mount of Olives. And all the people came early in the morning to hear him at the temple. Did you catch that? All the people came early in the morning to hear him at the temple. It was their desire to understand the Son, and in order to do that, they were spending time listening to the Son. They weren't relying on what other people said. They weren't relying on what they had heard. They weren't relying on rumors. They weren't satisfied with a secondhand relationship with the living God. They wanted to know for themselves. They wanted to understand the Son. And the way to do that was to get up early in the morning and go listen to him. We're able to do that today. Do you deliberately carve out time in your day to listen to the Son of God as you spend time in his Word? Is it your desire to understand who Jesus is and what he wants in your life? And I know we're all wired differently, and sometimes mornings just are not very productive for some people, and for others they are. So I'm not saying that it's commanding you that you get up early every morning and spend time with God, although that is a productive thing to do. But I do believe that God's desire is that we carve out time of our day that's very deliberate, that this is my time to learn and to know the Son. And this is important. And this is etched into my calendar. It's not written in pencil, but it's there permanently because I need that time. You see, God's desire as we celebrate the good news of a risen Lord is that we would understand the signs so that we are prepared and that we are ready. This morning, as we come to a time of decision, the question for every one of us is, so what? So what? Jesus noticed this widow that was making this great sacrifice, and the disciples just kind of overlooked it and didn't think a thing of it. What does that have to do with me? Jesus talked about wars and rumors of wars and all of this other stuff going on. What does that have to do with me? Jesus talked about the glory of the Son of Man coming. What does that have to do with me? Jesus talked about the need to be ready, about the need to be prepared, about the need to be found in Christ. What does that have to do with me? Jesus talked about himself, about the Son, about the one that came to seek and to save the lost, about the one that called all people to himself, about the one by which no other name under heaven people could be saved by. But what does that have to do with me? I believe as we seek to understand the signs, as we seek to understand the good news of a risen Lord, it all is about us as individuals. It's all about us collectively as the body of Christ. We learn from God's Word. We learn from His Spirit. We learn those principles of sacrifice, of studying and learning and putting into practice and being and doing. And it all begins by that initial saying, God, I surrender. I give up. You're in charge. I need the blood of Jesus to cleanse me of all of my sins because I can't clean myself up. So if you're here this morning, if you're watching online and you've never surrendered to Jesus, you've never made that decision to be fully immersed into Christ, to have your sins washed away, to be His child forever, that's the starting point. And I'd love to have that conversation with you about that process, about making Jesus as Lord of all in your life. In a moment, we're going to sing a song of decision, and if you need to talk with someone about that basic decision of surrender, you're welcome to come and meet me over here in room to my left, and we can discuss that. But as I say most weeks, when you come and you deliberately choose to attend a worship gathering and worship God, you're doing so because you've made that decision. You want to offer praise to Him. You want to worship Him. But each day and each week and every moment that we live, there's still those decisions every one of us have to make. And I believe God's word, as it was shared today, has brought conviction in the lives of people. That every time we spend with God and His word, there's something that His Spirit is calling us to do. And that question is, will I do it? Maybe it's one of these five areas of understanding that He says it's time to grow in. And I pray that if His Spirit has challenged you to grow in any of those areas or all of those areas, that you would take the heed to that and put it into practice. If that's the decision that you need someone to pray with you about, that you need to talk with someone about, again, you're welcome to come and join me in the room here to my left, and we can do that. But if it's a decision that is just between you and God where you're at, I pray that you make it. And that you follow through. And that you're able to celebrate in a greater way the good news of a risen Lord. Because you've begun in a greater way to understand the signs. And those signs have been obedience. Have brought you to obedience to God. If you have a decision that you need to make, that you need to talk and pray with someone about, you're welcome to come as we stand and sing, and you can join me in the room to my left, and we'll talk and pray about that. But whatever your decision that is that God is calling you to make, I pray that you make it today as we stand and as we sing.